Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the Pure Faith Podcast. By special, I mean I am recycling old information. We are going to be replaying the Matthew 1, 1 through 2 Bible study that we did very, very early on in our podcast. This was an episode that was originally released December 18th, 2021. I did cut out all of the talking that Michelle did beforehand, and Michelle is not with me right now, so I can blame it on her. So we shortened a 55-minute episode down to like 25 minutes. We didn't record a Bible study last week, but I just didn't feel like I did a very good job. I didn't do enough study. I didn't do enough prep. I didn't feel like it was something the Lord wanted me to release. So we scrapped that, and instead I am going to try this, see if you guys like it. If you're watching this on YouTube, there won't be any actual video. Whenever I do read scripture, I will put scripture quotes up, but otherwise it's just going to be our logo that you see. So without any further ado, we hope you enjoy.
So what are we talking about this week?
So we're going to get into the Bible study aspect of this, and we are going to discuss the first portion of Matthew. We're only going to get into Matthew 1 through 3.
Matthew 1 through 3.
So to get into this, and I'll go ahead and read Matthew 1 through 3,
okay,
just so everybody knows where we're going to be. So Matthew 1, and I'm reading out of the NIV. This is the genealogy of Jesus. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram.
Oh, so that's it. That's a lot. That's a lot of information.
That is a ton of information.
So this is where we come back to, Mitchell is the Bible reader and Michelle is saying, that's a lot. So we have a lot of names in there.
There's a lot of names. We're not going to cover all the names.
Okay, good. Because
that would be way too much.
Yeah. So which names are we going over here?
We're going to highlight the first couple generations. So mainly Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and we're going to cover those three. And then beyond that, we're going to focus more on the women.
On the women.
Because there are a few women that are mentioned by name,
mm-hmm,
and this is all done for a reason. So before we even get into the names in the scriptures, I need to point out that a lot of people might not know this. Matthew was written specifically for the Jewish reader. So as the Jewish readers, they knew Old Testament. So what we are going to discuss, the stories that I'm going to share, these Jewish people would have known these stories forward and back from memory and would be able to recite the entire story to you from memory. And that is very important to keep in mind, because just getting into like the very beginning of this, where it mentions Judah and his brothers,
mm-hmm,
just the mention of and his brothers for the Jewish reader would bring up the entire story of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay.
Because those were his brothers. Those were the 12 tribes of Israel. So just mentioning and his brothers, three words to the Jewish reader would give them hours of thought,
okay,
of stories that would just instantly come to their minds and they would know this stuff. And that's prevalent in all of Matthew's writing, the entire book. We're only into the first three verses.
All right.
But this is true for the entire book of Matthew. So that's something to keep in mind as we continue through Matthew for the next 24 years. I'm just kidding. It won't be 24.
I was going to say, wait a second. Did you say 24 years?
Yeah.
You could go back and forth. Yeah. You could go back and forth.
So that's why we're going to skip a lot of it. We're going to hit the main points that Matthew is trying to, well, I think Matthew is trying to point out in his genealogy, and then move on from there. So there will be a lot that we skip. But I think the first three generations are very important.
Okay, and that's going to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
Okay.
So, now that we know that this is directed towards the Jewish reader, again, it's very important to keep that in the back of your mind during all of this. So, we're going to go back to Genesis 15, 4 through 5.
Wait, so we're going backwards?
We are going backwards.
Because?
We are going to discuss the actual genealogy, the actual stories of the line of Jesus. Because, as we all know, Jesus comes from the line of David. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So each one of these names has a story.
That appeared earlier.
It's all in the past.
Right.
And a lot of it is documented in the Bible. So we're going to go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis and take a look at each one of these stories.
And this is why I said in our last podcast that you do not need to start at the beginning. And I want people to know this. So we are in Matthew, and we are going back to Genesis, which is the beginning. So again, I want everyone to know that you do not have to read the Bible from front to back to be able to follow along with this Bible study. So again, we're going back to Genesis. And I will ask those questions for you. But if there's anything at the end of this, of course, send us messages. And I will be that person for you. But right now, I just want to make sure everyone is aware that we do not need to start from the beginning. Yes. This is a perfect way of starting. So back to Genesis.
So yes, back to Genesis. I am reading Genesis 15, 4 through 5. If anybody wants to get out their Bibles and follow along. If you want to, go ahead and hit pause. Get out your Bibles. You can follow. So, Genesis 15, 4 through 5. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. This couple verses, this is when the Lord came down to Abraham. At that time, it was Abram. This was before his name was changed. We'll just use Abraham because
it's so much easier just to go with Abraham, even though they'll see Abram in the Bible.
They will see Abram in the Bible.
I just shortened it for Abraham.
Honestly, sometimes I say Abram. When it's Abraham, I say Abraham. When I use them both interchangeably. So whether I say Abram or Abraham, it's the same person. But this is where the Lord comes to Abraham and basically makes the promise that you are going to have offspring that are going to be more numerous than the stars in the sky. You can't even count the number of descendants that are becoming from you. And at this point, you know, he's not a spring chicken
anymore. No, isn't he like in his 80s or 90s or something?
He's probably in his 80s at this point. By the time he actually has Isaac, I think he's 90. I might have to double check
that. I was thinking 94, but I can't remember if that was him or his wife, Sarah.
Let's just say Sarah.
Yeah. I can't remember who was 94. All of these ages hit me because I, as a mother myself, I'm thinking, no.
Yeah.
No.
I can agree with that as a father.
Right. No. Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, but yes, he's older in age when the Lord comes to him.
And because of that, both Abraham and Sarah are like, come on, this is a joke.
Thanks for the good laugh.
Yeah. Like, this isn't real. But the Lord made him a promise. So as we go into Genesis 16, which I'm not going to read all this because if I spend all this time reading all these.
We'll be here, but we'll be late for church. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd be here too long. So I'm just going to give a brief overview. Hopefully it's brief of Genesis 16. And the main thing about Genesis 16 is this is where Abraham and Sarah were given this promise that they're going to have a child. And the descendants through that child will be as numerous as the stars. But they get impatient. The Lord gives them this promise. And years go by and they still don't have this child. They still don't have a child. And instead of sitting back and waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promise, they decide to take the matters into their own hands and basically force this promise to come true. But that's not our job. Our job isn't to force things to happen. If the Lord wants something to happen, like we were talking about with
you and Paige, and I'm thinking the same thing here, you know, patience is,
yes,
you know, you'll be blessed with a child when God's ready to give you.
I would not have been blessed if I went out and found another woman and had a child with her.
Or your wife found you another woman, as in this story.
It was just what happens.
Right.
Sarah takes her maidservant, Hagar, to Abraham. It's like, we're not having a kid. How about you take my maidservant, my Egyptian slave, basically, and have a child with her. And then that child will be this child that the Lord is going to bless us with. No, that's not the way it works. That's not the child the Lord promised to
that's
you.
That's not the child.
You can't decide what the Lord's plan is. Yes, that was bad. That was something they shouldn't have done.
Right.
They should have sat back and waited to
have God's plan fulfilled.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, they were impatient. They didn't do this. So Hagar ends up having a son with
Abraham.
With Abraham. We're getting
names. Yeah, confused. Hagar is the Egyptian slave.
So yes, Abraham and Hagar have a child, and that child is Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Which, a side note, Ishmael would end up becoming somebody who had many descendants through him. He ended up becoming the father of the Arab nation and ended up becoming the focal point for the Islam religion. So he did become very numerous.
But so Hagar ran away, right? Because when she found out she was pregnant.
Well, she ran away the first time, but the Lord is like, why are you running away? You know, you're going to bless your son too. Like I said, he became the father of the Arab nations. Mm-hmm. The Lord tells Hagar to take Ishmael back to put up with Sarah. Sarah's not being a very good person to Hagar. But the Lord says, put up with her and go back home. So she does. And she ends up staying with them for, I don't know, like 12, 14 years, something. But yes, the big thing to take away from Genesis 16 is that Abraham and Sarah were impatient in waiting for the promise of the Lord. So after Abraham and Sarah showed impatience with the Lord, then we go to Genesis 21. And I'm going to read Genesis 21, 1 through 5. And this is the brief little synopsis, or the brief little story of the birth of Isaac. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. It says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him.
Mm.
So Abraham was 100 years old.
Okay. I knew that they were old. And I think Sarah was 94.
She might have been 94. She was younger than Abraham.
Yeah, he was 100. She was 94.
Yes.
They had their first child together.
And something else to notice here, it says in verse 2, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. That was the promise that Abraham and Sarah ignored or tried to force early. But right here, it says that this was the time, this was the place where
even God though they didn't know when it was promise. So supposed to be, they knew that God had a plan.
Yes.
But they were being very impatient on God's plan because they knew that they were getting older.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And something else that we want to do here on this podcast is try to make this relevant to today's culture. Whatever you're going through and stuff like this, if there's something going on in your life and you're praying for it and you're praying for it and you're praying for it, something I was always told is there's three answers that the Lord will give: yes, no, or not right now. So if
even
you're praying for something
that you think should be now,
yes, it might be something that, like in the case of Paige and our firstborn Zeke, that what we wanted right now didn't actually even get conceived until a year past what we were hoping.
Right. And even though it can be a struggle.
Yes.
Even though the time that's being passed can be hard. and that you're asking yourself, why, you know, why is he not answering me? Why is this person getting more than you? I look at that myself. You know, I sometimes think, why is this person getting so much and their faith is as strong as mine, but yet they seem to be doing so well. And here I am, and I have to remember that this is God's plan. And when my time is supposed to be, it will come.
Yes.
I need to have patience. I need to continue to pray. I need to know that when it is time, it will be.
Yes.
So I just want everyone to know that his timeline is not going to be the same
exactly
as your timeline.
And you may be praying for something, and the answer might be yes, but that yes isn't the yes that you were expecting.
Yeah.
You're expecting the Lord to answer your request in one way, but in fact, he answers it in a completely different way. And if you're not paying attention, you may have had your prayers answered and you might not realize it, because it wasn't answered the way that you thought it should have been answered.
You need to stay open.
Yes.
Open about all of the answers that you could get.
And I can also say, again, going back to me and Paige and Zeke, that year that we were struggling to get pregnant, which we didn't tell anybody this, but it was truly a struggle.
Yeah.
We were questioning whether we could have kids. There was a lot of stress and a lot of weight that came along with that.
And knowing, too, that you're going to be leaving.
Yes.
I mean, that there was a lot going on. And even though it wasn't verbally said, people know, people realize that, especially new families, you know, newlywed people, that they are going to want to start a family. And they, too, see those struggles. And God can only help us to help those who are struggling as well. So when you are approached by somebody who says in the grocery store, I'm praying for you, some people might be thrown back by that. But I can tell you that it has happened to me on different levels, that I have no idea who these people are, but they come up to me in the grocery store and say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And you're like, whoa, just know it's in God's plan.
Yes.
Just know it's in God's plan.
Yes.
He wants you to know.
So at this point, Hagar and Ishmael are still there with them. So they're all being raised together. One big happy family.
Happy family.
Sarah and Hagar hate each other, but they're happy family.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. So a little bit of time goes by, and Sarah becomes basically annoyed with Hagar and Ishmael.
Because she has a baby now. She wants to raise her family with Abraham, and Hagar needs...
Yeah, now she's seeing that whole impatience coming on as a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want that sin around anymore.
Yes.
At least in her eyes.
Yes.
And so she told Abraham, get rid of him.
Yes.
So that's when Hagar and Ishmael left the second time. And at that point, they weren't coming back.
They weren't coming back.
And that's when Ishmael left and became the father of the Arab nation.
So then Sarah and Abraham raise Isaac.
And they raise Isaac together. So
okay.
Isaac grows. And at this point, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac are living in, I'll say, the promised land. This is where the Lord sent them. And this is the land that the Lord promised to give them. Abraham didn't want Isaac to leave this land in fear of being cursed, or, you know, wanted Isaac to stay close. So Abraham actually sends one of his servants, his chief servant, the one that's basically over almost all of his stuff, and sends him out to basically find a wife for Isaac. And this is a wife that's coming from the line that is more down the line of Abraham. It's not the Canaanite women that are surrounding them.
Right.
Abraham did not want Isaac to marry a Canaanite woman. So he sent a servant out to find him a good, at this point, I don't
and
know.
His servant, and his servant prayed about it, right?
Yes.
Lord, show me this woman.
Yes, whenever the servant got to where he was supposed to find this wife for Isaac, he prayed, Lord, let the woman come out, because he was there with his camels. Let the woman come out and let me ask her for water. If she says, yes, I will draw you water, and then I will draw your camels water as well.
Yes, then he will know that that's the one.
Yes. So, just keeping this short, the servant finds Rebecca, brings Rebecca back, and Isaac marries Rebecca.
Yes.
So now Isaac and Rebecca go on and have a child. So that's where we're going to get into the next part, which is Isaac is the father of Jacob. But unfortunately, we are already out of time.
Because we talk a lot.
We do talk too much. But that's fine. That's absolutely. What this is about. I don't want to rush through the Bible. I would rather take our time, talk about everything, and apply it to life. So everybody knows.
And to understand the flow of how it works as well. Yes.
So next week we're going to do the special, I guess you want to say, on basically death, life after death, and how we lost our father and all that stuff. But.
And then we'll come back.
And then we'll come back. So in 2 weeks, in two podcasts, we will continue with Isaac, the father of Jacob, which is in verse 2. And we'll cover that, and we'll try to get through 1-5.
Okay.
We'll try to...
Hit what we can. Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to hit what we can, and we hope that you guys understand that, you know, we do like discussion. We want to keep... I want to make sure you're getting the answers you want and the information you need, and Mitchell has got the information. So we might say we would get through Matthew 1-3 when we start, but we'll get where we can, and we'll let you know what we'll start up again. Yes. We want to make sure you have all the information.
We'll try not to make the podcast run too long. I mean, we could cover all this, but then we'd have
they're going to lose interest. Podcast, they're like, yeah. I have 50 minutes on my lunch hour, if that's when you're listening to it. So yeah, we'll keep it within that time frame.
So just for preparation for what's coming up. Again, this isn't going to be next week. It'd be the podcast after. But we'll be covering Genesis 25, 24 through 26, which is the birth of Jacob.
Which I love this story. So everybody, make sure that you tune in for this one, because I do like this story.
And then we'll be doing Genesis 25, 29 through 34. So basically read Genesis, if you want to prepare for it, you can read Genesis 25, read Genesis 27, read Genesis 29. This is a lot of homework, people.
Yes, it is.
They are great stories, and they all have to do with the birth of Jesus. If, like I said, if we get into 5, you can also read Genesis 38, Joshua 2, and the book of Ruth. That's a lot of homework.
That is a lot of homework, and I'm going to tell you. And this is all
just to cover 2 or 3 verses in Matthew.
But that's because it's so interesting.
It is. And like I said, there's a lot.
And don't feel like you have to read all of it, too, because we're going to be here. We're going to discuss it. You can follow along that day.
Yes.
But if you want to take a look ahead of time, if you do have any questions, feel free to email them to us.
At purefaithpodcast@gmail.com.
And I'll make sure to get those questions out ahead of time. We can get them answered. Otherwise, you know, even that day, join us with your coffee or your hot chocolate, or if you're on your lunch hour, your bottle of water, and just to listen to how we are going to discuss it, and you can take your notes then as well. Always feel free to send your questions if you have them, even after we'll touch base with you guys.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that brief Bible study over Matthew 1, verses 1 and 2. We didn't get as far into that Bible study as we intended. We got highly distracted, as was very usual for us. We do a lot better nowadays, but back then we did get distracted a lot. That email address that I gave, that is still an active email address, but it is not an email address we currently use. At least we don't monitor it, but it is still set up. We can receive emails to it. Otherwise, you can contact us at purefaithliving.com/contact. And as always, we hope you enjoyed what you heard. We hope you share this show with others so we can all work together in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And we will talk to you again next week.